Welcome. I'm Larry Olson. And what's on your mind? Once set, it delivers your life. To change the outcomes we want, we must change the plays we're running. Join us at Mindset Playbook with real people, real talk, for real insight.
Today's episode is sponsored by Apernio, an achievement acceleration company whose approach to professional development enables clients to gain insights and perspectives to live, work, and engage with more success.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to Mindset Playbook, and I want to thank you for wherever you are taking a moment out of your life to invest your time in becoming a better version of yourself, which we all know there's so much opportunity, and our whole life is a quest to be that better version of self. And I'm very excited about our guest today, who's going to share a lot of insights into how to go about accomplishing even more of that. I have a very interesting as well as high-performing guest today. And if you're like most high-performing people, you're tired of being pulled in multiple directions with zero time left for yourself. As a certified Proctor Gallagher coach and a 27-year military leader, Laura Knoll helps high performers live empowered, fulfilling lives, all while achieving their highest potential. She helps people focus on what really matters so they can stop feeling out of control and become more effective with their time and spend more time discovering, most importantly, doing what they love. Well, welcome to the show, Laura.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I love sharing and talking about mindset with like-minded people, that's for sure.
Oh, good. And I feel the same. You know, I believe, Laura, one of our greatest challenges is actually being the high performer that others see us as. Not feeling that you're living up to your highest potential can be very defeating and really holds you back. What are your thoughts on the imposter syndrome, as it's known, and any tips you can give us on breaking through it?
Imposter syndrome is such an important topic to really understand. I can tell you from personal experience, I suffered from imposter syndrome in a couple of different ways. In one way, as I was climbing the ladder of success in my organization and reaching the top echelons in my career, I always had this feeling like somebody's going to find out. It's all a farce. They're going to figure it out. I'm a phony. I'm a fake. I don't deserve to be here. And so living with that feeling inevitably keeps us stuck from truly expressing ourselves to the best of our ability and from standing in our truth and truly connecting with people in the way that's possible. And I struggled with that in a big way.
So what do you think causes high performers or many people, no matter what level they're at, to recognize that other people sometimes are seeing more in them than they do? And you know, there's kind of a false reality that gets created because we know what our best version of self is, if I can use that example. And yet sometimes we don't feel like we're living up to it, yet we're given credit for it. What did you go through that caused you to feel like you were going through this imposter syndrome?
I had an epiphany one day. I was, at the top of my career, I couldn't promote any higher. I was in the military at the time. And I was, over the span of a few years, I got promoted really quickly. I was leading different organizations and different professional development groups. And my role was to take care of other people. I was taking care of my father, who was terminally ill at the time. I was also going to grad school at the time. I just was always a high achiever. And I felt like it was a badge of honor to do all of these things and never ask for help, to be there to help and serve others, but never be a burden to somebody else. And so I had all these things going on in my personal life. I felt extremely depleted and disconnected. from the outside looking in, I looked really successful. Like I had it together and I was a go-to person. But on the inside, I was miserable. And I remember connecting with somebody that I had gotten to know. And I reached out to her and I said, when is it going to be enough? You know, I'm the president of this organization and vice president of this one and leading all these things and leading other people. And I'm taking care of my dad and going to school. I felt like I didn't do a good job. So I ran a marathon to raise money. I felt like I was fat. So I did a figure competition. Then I went and did the half Ironman in Kona. Like, I was literally beating myself up mentally and physically.
Were you ever giving yourself credit for any of those accomplishments? No.
No.
Where do you think that came from, where you hadn't learned how to give yourself credit?
I think a lot of our beliefs, I know a lot of our beliefs, they come from our upbringing. And this is not to point fingers at anybody. This is just a self-awareness.
Sure.
But, you know, from the time that we're born until we're the age of 6 or 7, we're taking in all of the information, everything that we see, taste, touch, smell, and hear. We're like little sponges. So our ancestors and the caretakers that took care of us and spent the most amount of time with, our environment really shaped us. So a lot of the beliefs that we have, you know, I've heard, she's shy. And you might hear something like that growing up and then you believe it, but you're not shy. You know, you're anything you want to be, but we have these false beliefs that become coded in our DNA. And then after a while, they become a part of us. So our self-image is a part of that belief system. It's a part of our paradigm that has been passed down from generation to generation.
Gotcha. Yeah, great. Absolutely. So this false image that we get, wherever we may get it from, becomes our identity. And so as we're going through life, no matter what we're doing, we're always measuring it against this identity. And this can be sometimes the basic ceiling, not sometimes, but all the time on our potential. You know, when I interrupted you where you were flowing on the imposter syndrome, to kind of get into again, what you've found out that helped you resolve these things for you to start to recognize that you do deserve this.
Yeah. Well, I realized in that moment when I asked my friend, when is it going to be enough? When am I going to be enough? I realized in my mind, I would never be enough. And that was an opening and an invitation for me to seek out personal development and try to figure out, you know, what's wrong with me? Well, there's nothing wrong with me. It's just things happen in our lives and we create beliefs around them. And unknowingly, they become a part of our belief system. And then the actions we take, the results that we get, that we continually get, are just a reflection of what's going on inside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we, without any conscious awareness, you know, most of our behavior is habitual. Mm-hmm. And so we don't even know what our potential is and where we're holding ourselves back, unless we really take the time to do a deep dive, work with a coach or work with a mentor to figure it out. And that's what I did.
Okay. All right. And what were some of the ahas you got along that journey of trying to figure it out?
I realized very early on in my personal development journey that I looked at other people sometimes with judgment. And I expected them to change, or I expected them to come to me to support me when I was supporting. Because, you know, when I was in that space and I was giving and not asking for support, I still expected support. And sure, I still had moments of feeling resentful for not getting it, but I wasn't allowing myself. So I realized very early on that changing how I see others, and also not putting how I feel on them. And I turned that back on me and I made that my responsibility. What I noticed is other people responded to me differently. And it was almost like it was magic. It was like, wow, I did this personal development and my husband's cleaning the house.
I don't have to tell him anymore.
No, he didn't change.
Right.
I changed.
You bet.
He changed how he responded to me, but just by me working on me, it shaped the relationships that mean so much to me in my life, and it just enhanced them in such a great way. And so all the things that I thought were problems, oh yeah, he needs to take this class. Well, no, he doesn't need to take this class. I need to work on me. And when I work on me, I see everyone else. I see myself differently, and I see other people I interact with differently.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed in my experiences that when we ask people to look in the mirror, if they want to find out where the problems are, lie in their life and who's responsible for them, you know, we almost create a lot of pushback in people because they recognize that, whoa, you know, what else is wrong with me? And they counteract the whole philosophy behind it. It is not, absolutely nothing is wrong with you. You've just had some kind of a false identity. And when you were sharing that with me, I was recognizing that, how do you go through that process without getting stuck in your shortcomings and and perhaps where you felt you were at fault? You know, I was the one made my husband feel like this. How did you keep from crawling in bed, pulling the blanket up, stick your finger in your mouth and woe is me, I've been this bad person? Because that's what people are afraid of, I think, when entering into any kind of self-awareness.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I just read this book and the name of the author is escaping me. It's What Happened to You. And it's a psychotherapist, and Oprah actually did this book. So when people ask what's wrong with me, he'll even say there's nothing wrong with you. Things happened in your life that shaped you and actually shaped your brain function in terms of how you respond and react to the world around you. You know, so the first aha was realizing that I needed to take responsibility for how I'm showing up and how I feel. But to your point, another powerful lesson was I learned that we have an infinite amount of power that is an energy that's flowing to and through us, and we can shape it into anything we want. And what we've done in the past has no relevance or bearing in terms of what we're capable of doing in the future. And then that was a big aha for me, because even during that time, when I started seeking out personal development, I was searching for my purpose, even though I had a successful career. And I normally would look to what have I done in the past? What was I not so great at? What degrees and certifications do I have? Oh, okay. Well, I could do this then. And we've got it all wrong. It really comes from your heart. And what do you want? If there were no obstacles, focus on what you would love to be, do, or have and create. And when you focus on that, you'll figure out how to get there. Yes, we need the requisite skills, but we can figure it out. And maybe the skills that we think we need, we can hire somebody else to do those things. But that was an aha, realizing that what we've done in the past, unless we choose to lean on it, has no bearing on who we get to become and who we choose to become in the future.
What fantastic insights we are getting into in this episode. If this resonates with you and is provoking and of value, please consider the best-selling book of Get a Vision and Live It by your host, Larry Olson, at apernio.com. His book has been an inspiration to many of Mindset Playbook's guests, and you'll find everything you need to live the best version of your life now. The results you'll get will absolutely amaze you. Find the book at apernio.com in the shop. And now let's get back. You won't want to miss what's to come in this episode of Mindset Playbook.
Yeah.
That's empowering.
That's huge, huge. And for the listeners and you and I as well in this, because we're all works in progress, we're all gaining insight, is this whole concept of the past doesn't define me, when in reality, we're not born with attitudes. Attitudes are preconceived notions. They're learned behaviors. And yet, attitudes have 100% effect on our performance. Attitudes are subconscious. So at some point in our life, we don't have to think any longer. All we have to do is react to every situation that occurs. And I think that's where people get stuck, is they don't recognize that. So when we say things like, your past doesn't have to define you, it's kind of like, well, then how do I define myself? And I think you nailed it when you said, now it's about creating vision. It's about imagining. It's about being a kid again. It's about having that imagination, right?
Absolutely.
And finding. And you mentioned that through that, you found your purpose. This part of my work, purpose is everything. What did you find out was really driving you that you call purpose?
Well, previously, before I started getting into this work, I realized what was driving me and my success that I'm saying in air quotes, because I don't deem myself a success back then because I was miserable inside. But what was driving me then to be successful and, you know, get the accolades and all of that stuff was a feeling of not feeling good enough. And a feeling of needing to prove myself to myself. Well, I'll do this and I'll get this degree, then I won't feel stupid, or I'll whatever the case may be, I'll do this half Ironman and then I'll be an athlete. But every mountain I would climb, I still was left unfulfilled. And it wasn't until I started shifting toward, so I was doing all of these different things that were seemingly unrelated. And when I started zeroing in on, gosh, what would I like to do? How do I want to live? How do I want to feel? What would my life look like? One of my last certifications was as a yoga teacher, and I was still in the military at the time. And I started teaching yoga at night at my office. So some of my colleagues would just come and, you know, just for free, just for fun. And I would teach yoga, and I noticed how people's mindsets were changing just from breathing and, that mind-body connection. And I thought, my gosh, if I could bottle this up in a curriculum, that's it. That's it. Okay. So that's the first part of this. I got clear on what I wanted. I started being curious and, you know, pursuing different paths like yoga or another master's degree and whatnot. And then I started to get curious, gosh, what would it be like if I could bottle this up in a curriculum or something? I went to another personal development seminar, and there was a gentleman speaking by the name of Bob Proctor. And I felt like somebody lit a flame under my seat, and I stood up and I said, how do you know when you found your purpose? And I just loved what he was saying. And I thought, that's the curriculum. That's it. That's it. That's the yoga philosophy, how the mind works and the brain works and how it influences our results. And I made a connection with him, and I was planning on retiring in 3 years from the military. I ended up submitting and getting my retirement accepted in 3 months. And within 6 months, I was in business. Yeah. So I got clear. I allowed myself to be curious and gave myself permission to dream. I followed my curiosity, which is my intuition, and everybody has that. Mm-hmm. And I took inspired action based on being in alignment with that vision. And I was decisive. I asked the question when he said, give me your contact information. I said, yes. And I didn't know what he was offering. I didn't know if it cost anything, what it cost, but I was all in, and I never looked back. Wow. So it happens quickly when we are in alignment and we recognize it and we act.
Yeah. Yeah. What advice or suggestions would you give to people on the concept called sustainability? We all get excited. We all get motivated. When people call me a motivational speaker, I'm very disappointed, because motivation, it doesn't last very long. And yet, when you share this type of information with people, they get really pumped and excited. And so they call you motivational, right? Mm-hmm. When in reality, you want to create an offering for them that they can then learn and own and be able to participate themselves in and be responsible and accountable. How do you bring that accountability piece in to help people be able to sustain this beyond, a week, a month, and make it a part of their lives?
Yeah, I teach them one that willpower has a shelf life, as you described. And so when we're putting our focus, I mean, take the person who goes on a diet. They know what to do. They have the plan. They have the coach. They have the workout plan. And for a couple of weeks, they're using their willpower and all of their might and determination and grit to lose weight. And for a few weeks, it works and they're excited. But slowly but surely, without their knowledge, because most of our behavior is habitual, it's run by our paradigms, subconscious mind, they get pulled back to the sofa, elbow deep in a bag of potato chips. And it's because they just changed their behavior using their willpower. That's what we're taught to do. Yes. And then if we fail or we don't succeed in that, we're told that we don't have a strong will or we're being lazy. But the root cause of all of our results is our paradigm. So it's not enough to change your behavior. You have to change how you see yourself. And so I teach people how to change their paradigm while at the same time they're changing their behavior. Because when that behavior, when that willpower wears off, the paradigm, the new operating system, so to speak, starts to take effect and take hold. And then before you know it, you have another habit. So that's what I teach people to do.
Yeah. So let's just right now give them the best information you can on how to connect with you, how to get involved with you and experience your programs and everything else.
Yeah, the best way to connect is I have a page just for your audience. So it's stretchintosuccess.com/mindset playbook. And there are a bunch of resources there. I have some mindset changing techniques, a little PDF that people can download to get started. My contact information is there. I do host, I'm actually in the middle this week of a workshop. It's an hour, up to an hour a day for 5 days where I'm walking people through this process. I want to give them the keys to the kingdom. And sure, people who want coaching and that support, they're going to work with me. And for people who want to try it on their own, they can do that. And then I have my calendar. So if somebody is like, gosh, I'd really like to have a conversation with you, they can book a call on my calendar.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You know, you probably feel the same way I do, that the word life coach has gotten just beat to death. And anybody can go to a seminar and then get certified. Now they're a life coach, but they haven't had the life experiences. Mm. And so what it is, it's just it's a superficial layer with no depth to it. And people ultimately begin to experience that and feel that. And I think, unfortunately, that ends up kind of giving it a bad name. And what I'm experiencing and feeling from you is it's so genuine and it's so authentic and it's infectious, you know, because you just kind of bubbleate. I mean, you just have that good feel about you, which means that you're experiencing what you're talking about. And so all of the listeners out there, this is the real deal. I mean, Laura is the one. So you need to take it real serious if you're at any level in your life. You could be at the highest level and still be stuck because we start to get comfortable and pretty soon we feel like we've arrived and all of a sudden we become in despair again because, you know, we're not meant to just stop. I don't believe right. that's in our spirit. So thank you for sharing how to get more in touch with you. You know, not everything is all sugars and roses and positive thinking. Mm-hmm. What were some of the challenges that you faced in your life, whether it be in growing up or in the military, that, kind of blended to your credentials that if we're not careful, life's not easy?
Yeah, gosh, there's so many things that shaped who I am today. And I don't regret any of them. They were just challenges for me to learn and grow from. I mean, I honestly, growing up, I didn't have the easiest childhood. You know, was in a really rough living situation with there was abuse going on, not toward me, but in my household, and seeing that and witnessing it, and then living in the one bedroom apartment with my mom growing up, and that her working three jobs. So I mean, it wasn't easy living in the poor neighborhood, but going to the wealthy school and wow. trying to fit in. And then throughout my career, just carrying that, oh, I have to walk on eggshells or I'm going to hurt somebody, you know, because I grew up believing that in my household.
Gotcha.
So I felt like I had to almost be invisible. So even though I was growing in my career and people would push me to take on different leadership roles, I would stop myself. I would say, oh, that's nice. But no, I'm happy here, even though, you know, there were just other places and other roles that I could have taken on at that time, but I just didn't see it in myself until I really started working on myself. And, you know, even the lessons transitioning, becoming an entrepreneur, learning to trust my intuition. And even though I'm learning something new and transitioning as an entrepreneur, you know, 4 years ago, and I might be learning from people who know and have had more experience than me, there's a lot of value in our intuition, your intuition, my intuition, and learning those valuable lessons and how to trust it and the times when I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's just, it's just so fascinates me that when you listen to someone's story, and this is something I teach in leadership, is before you punish, which I don't believe in anyway, but before you open up your mouth because of the behavior you saw that you didn't like, find out what the story is behind it.
Yeah.
Because they probably didn't do it on purpose, whether it's your spouse or your children. You know, we've been brought up in such a punitive, kind of mean-spirited society, if you will, at least in the United States, which is so judgmental, and let's find out what's wrong. And, you know, we just went through a whole period of leadership that wasn't, I didn't think was pleasant, mm-hmm. whether there were great accomplishments or not is something else. But as far as the attitude, I really took issue with it because it didn't bring out the best in others.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that I'm feeling from you. And yet I totally understand what it's like to be having people acknowledge. And I grew up, my sister was born mentally delayed, and my parents didn't even recognize it till I was about a year old and pushing her in a stroller, who was 3 years older than I was. And they labeled her mentally retarded. I mean, they don't even use those terms any longer. And as I was growing up, it was always, I've got to be liked. I've got to be accepted. Mm-hmm. I don't want to let my parents down because they're so devastated by this. You know, I've got to be the... And, you know, every one of us has something that we've experienced that we kind of identify with it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine if you'd looked at your parents and gone, boy, that's not very functional. That's not positive, you know, what did I have to do with that? You know, right. How did I create that dysfunction? Because, you know, we're the only one in here looking out of our eyes. And why the, what was your quest for the military?
I was restless and I just wanted to get out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew that I just wanted to leave my home.
Gotcha.
Just wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I remember I was in college in Army ROTC at the time. And then the application process to go be an officer, it was taking too long. And I'm like, ugh, I'm just going to go enlist. That's what I did. And I joined the Air Force. And it was the best thing for me because it was a great way for me to learn about myself and be on my own, but have kind of bumpers the way, a little bit of a safety net, and then really come into my own and pursue my education and just different leadership opportunities. So it truly was the best experience.
So that was 27 years?
It was, yeah. Wow.
Good for you, man. You put in your time.
I did. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for your service. Absolutely. So I had a question. Now let's see if I can remember it. You talked earlier about the importance of asking for help. Mm-hmm. One of the toughest things, as you know, for most people to do, because we don't want to perceive this stupid, you know, to raise your hand in school. What happened to the kid that got the wrong answer? We didn't even have to experience it. We could just watch it and experience it, right? What advice would you give for people who feel they got to do it all by themselves?
One aha for me was realizing that by not asking for help, I was being a taker.
Oh, wow.
Because think about how good you feel when you are able to help somebody else, when somebody accepts your help and you're able to help them. How wonderful does that feel? And you feel connected with that person. And when we rob somebody else of the opportunity to help us, that's selfish. That was an aha for me. It was just so even just shifting that paradigm, I thought that I was being burdensome by asking for support, but really in reality, I'm giving somebody an opportunity to be with, offer insight, maybe help do something for me or not, just, you know, be a listening ear. But that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge, huge. It was a huge challenge of mine. Mm-hmm. I was great with advice, just not taking any. And you can imagine how that can stifle one's growth. You know, unfortunately, with the time, this has been so fascinating. What can you give our listeners that they can act upon, just a little tip or a little piece of advice? Because, you know, we've all gone through this COVID thing together, and mm-hmm. it's affected everyone differently. But for most people, it's left them with themselves or at home with their children and putting into roles, having to go into roles that they not necessarily had in mind or planned. And as we know, there's some people that's created chaos, and other people it's been the greatest adventure of their lives and the best opportunity. So with that wide variety of listeners we have out there, what is something that can put them into a whole different perspective or just tweaking perspective as a result of your sharing?
I think one thing that's applicable to everybody is taking the time to think and not do. And, you know, anytime that we set our sights on a goal or a vision, as soon as we decide that we want it, we're in energetic harmony with it. Everything is energy. And so as soon as we make a decision, a committed decision, this is what I want, you're in harmony with it. But the problem is we don't stay in harmony with it because we get pulled into the circumstances that are happening around us, and we allow those things to influence how we feel and our thinking. And then we kind of, you know, we're at a lower level then in our thinking and what we attract, and more thoughts that are in harmony with those thoughts. So one of the best and easiest ways to get back in harmony with what you want, even if you're not specifically working toward your goal, is the practice of gratitude. That will shift whatever you're going through. If you're dealing with a problem, it'll take the focus off of you and off that problem, and it'll have you look at that challenge from a different perspective. Nothing is all bad. Nothing is all good. The law of polarity just states that, you know, everything's on the same spectrum. There's just opposite ends of that spectrum. So when you can look even at a challenge and say, you know, and feel it, I'm grateful for this opportunity to rise above. And if you can think about 10 things that you're grateful for and just write them down first thing in the morning before you get pulled into emails, and then send love in your mind to 3 people who might be trying your nerves.
Wow. Oh, that's a good one.
Right. And then ask for guidance for the day. That will set you up for success.
Beautiful. So 10 things I'm grateful for.
Yep.
What was the other one then? The second
Send love to 3 people who might be annoying you.
Send love to 3 people that might be
even
annoying
yourself.
Yeah. That's probably the best place to start. And then what was the last one?
Ask for guidance for the day. How can I serve today? How can I be my best self today? Take the pressure off. Okay. And you might get a download of inspiration in that moment, but you might, while you're washing the dishes and you're relaxed.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, you know, when you say ask for guidance, most people go to to a religion or a theology, which is, you know, kind of the way, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then there's spirituality, which is something greater than self. How do you explain where they're seeking guidance from?
I love how it was explained to me. And it was, you know, there's a power that's flowing to and through us. And if you kind of lean on the side of science, they would say it's energy. If you are a theologian, they would say it's spirit, but it's all energy. It's all that power that's flowing to and through us. So either way, whether you're connecting with yourself, your higher self, your religion, it's all the same energy.
Oh my God. You're a soothsayer.
Oh my goodness.
You're a Yoda. I'm so impressed with the depth of your understanding. And I'm so grateful. That's one of my 10 today that I had you on the podcast. And I hope our listeners, and I know our listeners will reach out because this is their opportunity to get some assistance, to ask for help and recognize it was the best thing they could have done for themselves. So that being said, how would you like to wrap up our session today?
Well, I want to say thank you, and thank you to your listeners as well for tuning in. I have gratitude for you and how we connected as well. You know, there's no accidents. We're here for a reason together. And if you're listening, there's a reason for it. So just take something that you heard today and don't just make it an intellectual process. Decide that you're going to do something with this information. Apply one tidbit that we talked about. Take it into your life because that's how you change. That's how you internalize it. That's how you become the person you were meant to be.
Oh, that's beautiful. That was Laura Noel. Is it Noel or Noel?
Noel.
Noel. Just like the Christmas Noel.
Like Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm the second Noel, though. I'm not the first. Right. I got to give credit to my husband for that one.
There you go. All right. Well, I want to thank Laura, and I want to thank all our listeners. And I want you to always remember that wherever you find yourself, you're exactly where you need to be. And if things aren't going right for you, what would be going right for you? What would that look like? And as Laura has shared with all of us, it's that higher self that's going through all of us, that energy. And we all share it and we can't deny it. We can, but it doesn't change its mind or it's the energy. So thank you again for being our special guest. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm just very, very thankful that I have met you and that I've been able to share you with so many others.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank all of you for taking the time to listen. Feel free if you want to write a little review. I mean, we were always encouraged by that. And I look forward to talking with you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, we ask that you please subscribe and share with your friends and associates. Join us next time where Larry will go nuclear with you. Literally. His guest is an expert in the nuclear energy business and was formerly the chair of the Board of Governors of the World Nuclear Fuel Market. Together, they will debunk many of the myths around the fear of nuclear energy and why it is the possible cure to all of our energy needs.